Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%. APR, 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. My name is Daryl Ong, and you're tuned in to Bar None, a weekly show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. Having to tell her redemption story in her new book last year, this week we are joined by ex-national triathlete Kim Lee Yap. In 2014, the Triple Sea Games gold medalist met an accident that nearly took her life, but she did not let that keep her down, instead decided that she was going to use her experience as a former national competitor to help train and coach others. Spending her days now as a movement specialist, Kim Lee brings us up to speed with her life, and takes us back through the triathlon days and her experience competing in the SEA Games. Starting things off, we ask her about her book, But By Grace.
So the book is a little bit about the life and that journey that I've been through, being an athlete since I was 7 years old, and just the things that happen between being a swimmer and then transitioning into being a triathlete. And I kind of ended my career as a cyclist at the end of... So basically, I think it was 2011. That was my last SEA Games in Indonesia. So in between that, the accident happened. So the accident happened after, when I was on the verge of going back and making a comeback in triathlon, because triathlon was not competed in a few editions of the SEA Games. So that was...
That was a
very hard decision between what do I do now and the future. Like, but the good thing about being a triathlete is that you're exposed to three different sports.
Yeah, you excel on everything, right? You have to excel on everything.
I wouldn't say I excel in everything, but that's definitely a forte, because I started as a swimmer and that was my forte.
We'll talk more about your accident and what you did after the accident, post-recovery and all of that. But as a rundown, you and triathlon, you had running, swimming and cycling.
Yeah.
Right? Did you fall into all three of these naturally, or did one come after the other?
I started as a swimmer, and I was a fast swimmer, right? Cycling and running came a bit later, but I had to learn to cycle and run. But between cycling and running, the most that I learned as a 20-year-old adult, I would say an adult, is cycling, because when we were swimming, we do warm up and do running as warm up, but cycling was not something that was it wasn't something so natural to get into. But I enjoy speed. Like, I like speed. So when I first got on a bicycle, scary at first, scary for sure, but then it just came naturally, and I would say the pain that you go through being a cyclist is a very different kind of pain between running and swimming, because that type of pain is like you're sitting on something and you have no choice but to move it.
Right.
You have to move that machine.
There's only one way you can ride a bicycle, right?
Yeah. And that was the thing about cycling is that you have to fall to learn the skill to take a corner, or you need to crash to learn that, or never to do that again. That's the hard part between learning to cycle and run.
Yeah, so, you apply different techniques in both, in all that three sport, but would you say that there are some characteristics, say the strength in swimming and say the stamina in running, does that contribute to the cycling aspect of it?
Yeah, and also I'm a very, well, some people say I'm a very fast learner, and my body adapts to kind of everything I throw at it. And it's a gift. It's a gift that a lot of people don't get to play around with. Like, I got the opportunity to do it, but, you know, not everybody gets that opportunity. And for me, I feel that working hard as well, talent is, I would say, 20%, but hard work comes in much more than the talent can give. But having a little bit of talent, I feel, makes the transition easier.
A bit advantage, right?
Yeah. And I am generally a very athletic person. Also, the support that I get from my family and how my mom views sport at a young age really opened up much more doors for us, because a lot of kids nowadays, mom and dad will always say, you know, study comes first. And
no football.
Yeah, no, because you know why? You need to make sure you get an A and everything. But my mom said to me, like, she said, you can study until however old you want to, but your stamina and your endurance and your agility will not stay with you until then. So she gave us that opportunity because she looked at things so differently. Yeah.
Taking part, 1999, 12 years old. Competitive swimming at 12 years old, 16 years old. You represented Malaysia in 3 different sports and actually won 2 golds for a triathlon in 2005 and 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a bit about that SEA Games experience, you know, the couple of times you're there. How was it like holding the country's flag?
Every time I go and compete in the SEA Games or any international competition, I will always feel that, you know, when we carry that flag, or when we carry that title on our suit, like Malaysia, and we have the, just, I think 10 years ago, the Harimau Malaya came out.
Yeah.
And that felt like, I wouldn't say the whole country's burden is on your shoulders, but it gave us something to motivate. You know, it motivated us to do so much more. And having all eyes on you.
Yeah, at millions of eyes.
Yeah, that day. In a, such a big a competition is actually something that a lot of people would always say that it's a privilege and an honor at the same time to actually compete for the country. And if you win a medal, of course, when you stand up there and when you hear Nagaraku,
right?
It's like, wow, you have goosebumps. Like, all that hard work just for this moment. Like, so that was what I savored most about the SEA Games and competing internationally.
And being a gold medalist as well.
Yeah. And it was a surprise for me. Like, I accidentally got into triathlon. Like, I've never actually worked with a triathlon coach. So it was just someone just came up to me and said, you know, I was doing relays for a triathlon team. So relay means one person swim, one person cycle, one person run. Because I was a good swimmer. And
right. And
it was always about winning a team event. And then I saw this uncle at one race, and I saw this old uncle, and he was doing it all by himself. And I was like, what? It's crazy. And then I was like, I want to be like this uncle too. And then just after that competition, the event organizer came up to me and he said, you know, girl, you swim so fast. Huh? You just learn to cycle and run. And I was like, wow, so easy, huh, uncle. I don't have a bicycle. He says, never mind. I come and pick you every weekend. You go for a ride with us. And then I will run with the running team in MSN. And that was how it all started. All
right. And where's the uncle now? Is he still...
The uncle is somewhere.
Hopefully hearing this. This year SEA Games just passed, and you know, Malaysia came out overwhelming success, topping the charts. From a former participant, how would you describe this current crop of athletes, and what would you attribute their success to?
I think their success is their hard work, and also so many new technologies and new training methods, and having an open mind. A lot of the athletes have a really open mind to. I would say whenever we change something or whenever something doesn't work for the athletes, and they're just really open to changing and switching and to try out what works for them. Even sometimes changing a coach can be so overwhelming for an athlete. And I feel to me, a lot of all these support that comes from the sports ministry, having a new sports minister has really brought sports in Malaysia really out there.
Do you see like a major change, you know, in terms of like, you know, infrastructure from where you're back then to the, you know, sporting programs?
Yeah, because our sports minister is involved in, and he does Ironman, like he does it himself. Like, I feel that is something that we as Malaysian athletes should look up to. When we have a minister that actually does an Ironman, I wouldn't ever imagine me being an Ironman, even though I do triathlon, but different distances, yeah, you know.
Whole different ballgame.
Yeah, right? My race is 2 hours and you're done, you know. Imagine the Ironman. These people, they race for 8-9 hours when normal people sleep for 8-9 hours. Some of us don't even sleep 8-9 hours, yeah, you know. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so that actually made a difference as well.
Right, so from a former like participant to a competitor to an athlete, you're now currently a trainer at Daily Muscle.
Yes.
A boot camp founded by your husband and yourself.
Yeah.
You're no stranger in the training kind of scene, you know. You're a trainer at Fitness First as well. How does it feel like going from, you know, competing in sport to training and coaching people?
Training and coaching people. It's very different as well, because I feel that a lot of people tend to say that I've got the experience. So I've actually been trained, you know. I've actually been trained and now I'm training people. So I know what it feels like to actually have that burn and right. have that I can't do this anymore, and just giving them a little boost and just pushing them a little bit harder, which what I experienced last time as an athlete. So I actually started having this passion to train people just after I had my spine surgery in 2009, when I had a trainer that was assigned to me, and he was just, his one job was to get me back on my bicycle as fast as he could.
Right.
And he did that really, really passionately and really professionally as well. And that actually taught me that, you know, there's so much more in the process of making an athlete and breaking an athlete. You know, it can, sometimes the support system can just, you know, can just give you a break, or the support system can say that, you know, don't take that break, or push yourself a little bit more. When you come out of that that injury or that surgery, you just become a stronger person as well.
And I guess it's the type of things is hard to see when you're a participant, right? Your coach is pushing you and you'll be like,
it's so hard, coach?
But now you sit on the other side of the fence, you know, so you see the importance of it, right?
And it's just so fulfilling to see those people and constantly coming with transformation and constantly getting stronger and constantly getting fitter to keep up with their kids. And these are just people that's walking down the street, just a general person who actually needed help, and they seek us for help. And we try our best to provide that help to them. And that's just a little bit of knowledge here and there between my competing days, where I have a trainer, I have a therapist, I have a nutritionist, I have everything. And now I get to give it back to these people.
Probably a wrong question, but, you know, is it as fulfilling and as satisfying as competing?
It's a different sense of satisfaction. So a lot of athletes, after they retire, they go back and they coach other athletes. I told myself in the years of being an athlete that I didn't want to do that, because I wanted to see what other places need my specialty. Yeah, my specialty, yes.
Right.
So I kind of take what I've learned as an athlete, and now I get to serve just the community out there. It's really different. It's a different kind of fulfillment from, you know, just having them go through life, and life will always hit you in so many different ways, right? So I actually trained this lady who was divorced. She was a divorcee, and she just came to me and she's like, I just need to do something about myself. And she kind of gave her time to me. And for me, I feel really privileged to be able to do life with her just once, 1 hour, 3 times a week. I get to do life with her. And that actually transformed me myself as well. Like, you see these people and they're having troubles and they're having difficulties in life and they have kids. And they actually have to provide for their kids because, you know, things, life happens. And now that she's such a more confident person, she goes out, she looks for a job, and she still keeps herself as very active. I don't train her as much anymore. But it was such a privilege for me to go through and help her in life.
That was Kim Lee Yap on why she made the transition from competing to training other people and what it's like being on the other side of the fence. Coming up, we talk more about her life as a movement specialist. My name is Daryl Ong. Stay tuned. This is Bar None, right here on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you tune in to Bar None, the weekly show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. My name's Daryl Ong, and this week we've been talking to Kim Lee Yap, an ex-national triathlete with an interesting and inspiring redemption story of overcoming a life-threatening injury to now training others. She shares with us about how she and her husband Noel tried to make fitness fun again with the bootcamp Daily Muscle. We also tell a story about giving back to the community and the importance of staying active. So you specialize in movement training.
Movement, yes.
Not many people know what movement training is. Can you just give us in a nutshell what it is?
Okay, so basically, if now in this, I think in this era, if we talk about exercise and if we use exercise as a term of getting, losing weight and getting strong and sweating and right, being yeah. and having, soreness in your
muscle
body,
it
scares people. It intimidates a lot of people out there. So, but guess what? You have to move every day. Even if you drop a pen down on the floor, what do you have to do? You have to move to pick it up. And at Daily Muscle, we believe in making fitness fun again. So we try to get people to go through those things that you have to do every day in life more better and more efficiently. Versus having, move here, back pain, or I cannot squat too low because my knee hurts.
Right.
I can't get up after I sit down on the floor.
Okay, so those more practical solutions to... Would that mean that the class would involve, different people doing different things? Because different people have different kind of problems, right, with themselves.
Yeah, and we give options to all those people. So in a class that we have at Daily Muscle, we can have a person that comes in and has never worked out. And a person next to that person who's a super athlete, like not super athlete, but I would say does a Spartan race.
Right.
And both of them get the same satisfaction and the same quality of workout in that class. So I would say the beginner will have options and the advanced person will have their own options. So and it's their choice to take that option. And we always give them options,
I want to touch upon something you touched upon, making fitness fun again, right? Because it's true, the stigma of boot camps, heavy, sweaty people doing push-ups, trainers shouting, that sort of thing. It does have a very intense, I won't say scary, but intense feeling to it.
Yeah.
How does Daily Muscle make it more accessible to the public?
We make fitness fun in ways that every week we have a theme class, and that theme class can be... last Friday we had a Star Wars theme class, and they will come in with accessories, and I, as the person teaching the class, would come as... I came as Rey. And
Rey's cool.
Yeah. And so these are the things that we play in as well. Like coming up in November till December, November 20th to December 17th, Daily Muscle is coming up with a 4-week burn fat give back challenge that we do, not every time, but we do focus on doing challenges, 3 to 4 challenges a year. And this that is, gives back.
Give back to the community. So.
To the community. And Orphan Care is one of the charity that we actually, that's really close to my husband and I, our hearts. So we do that. And people pay a fee to come and join the challenge. But all the money, at the end of the 4 weeks, we will go shopping and buy toys for the kids and give them, because December is actually a month of giving, and we just want to see the joy of the kids, their faces, the smiles on their face.
So it's like going to Daily Muscle is a win-win-win thing, right? You improve physically, mentally, and also you give back to the community.
And we give back, and that has always been our mission. So we always tell people that we are a gym for people who don't like gym.
That's a very nice way to put
it. Yeah.
Going back to your movement training, your movement specialist, are there, you know, special methods in training for people with injury?
So because I have gone through significant recovery between just little injuries, like, you know, you just trip over your foot, and in a big injury like the accident, I have certain experiences going through that, so I can then teach someone or train someone.
So during your recovery, you were also like still working out and, you know, exercising the parts of different.
And
parts
I actually had to go through that myself, like having to do options, being a very active person to being bedridden for a month has taught me a lot mentally, physically, and I would say just, you know, just taking that time. Sometimes you just need to rest, and that rest and being active in your rest as well. Promote healing. So a lot of people would always say this, and some doctors would agree with me, that sometimes when you have injuries, it's not very wise to just not do anything. Like, okay, I injure my leg, and so I shouldn't be walking, or I shouldn't be doing exercises or things like that. But if you give your body enough challenge to recover, it will recover faster.
Right.
Versus, okay, I can't do this. I have an injury now, and I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit and lie down, and everybody's going to do everything for me. But versus that person who has a leg injury, but you can still move your hand.
Right.
And you can still move your upper torso.
So you're in the hospital kind of like doing half push-ups.
No, I was actually bedridden. Right. But I was forced to walk. Even with a walking stick, even if it was a half an hour. And I walked a few times and I passed out because I wasn't very strong. I was very highly drugged. But I was forced to walk in the hospital too. If you don't work it, then your body will think that, oh, you don't challenge it, your body won't recover as fast.
You're making me feel bad now.
No.
I'm going to go home and, you know, run across the house or something.
You can. Just make sure you just be active. You know, they say it's a 30 minute a day. But to think about it, sometimes if you park your car further away and you walk that 15 minutes, that's already 15 minutes.
That's true. That's true. Maybe tomorrow
I'll
accumulate the time.
Yeah. In a lot of people will always think that exercise, I must put away 2 hours and go to the gym. It's not really that sometimes. Just taking the stairs instead of the lift can be another way of being active. Even if you have a 20-minute little free time in the morning and a 20-minute in the evening, you add it up, it's 40 minutes.
Exercise
It's actually
hacks.
Not too bad, yeah. Shopping is a good exercise.
all that walking, right?
Yeah, and think about it, 2 hours shopping, you get exhausted.
You, Kimberly, you have a very inspiring and, you know, frankly amazing story of, you know, recovery.
Yeah.
Coming to your training sessions and all of that, what would you say to your students, students, when it comes to motivating them?
Just to give it time. I would always tell people to give it time, because sometimes you just need to give yourself a little bit more time to get over the soreness. The first week of working out is always the hardest, because you will, let's say if someone comes to us in a class tonight and she feels sore tomorrow, and does that mean that you oh, I'm not going to come back again, you know. But I would always tell them to just give it time and just not give up. Like, you need to give your body a chance to change. Mm. And for your body to change, you just need to really give it a lot of chance. And the choice that you made a choice to come. You want to change your life. You made that decision. But you need to give your body a chance to do it as well. And to give that, and to give us the chance to help you. And you actually need to have an open mind to do it.
You need to help yourself.
Yeah, and you need to do it for yourself. When you start seeing results and things like this, all that choices that you made, like today, okay, what was the biggest... I would sometimes ask the class when before we start, what was the biggest thing that you did today? Like something extraordinary. And some would say that, I said no to cake. And that's a big thing for them because they love cakes, right? And for them to say no to that is like, wow, you know? We actually teaching you something here. And that little thing, the Malay saying says, sikit sikit lama lama jari bukit. The small changes that you do every day leads up to a big transformation at the end. Mm. And we at Daily Muscle, we really like to do a 6-week challenge. So we run that 3 to 4 times a year. And after 2 weeks, it's just amazing to see all the testimonies that come back. My jeans is loose. I need to buy new jeans now. I need to buy wardrobe. I need to buy new clothes. And they come with their new clothes and they look so much happier and they do life better. Mm. Quality of life as well just really puts a smile on our face.
Looking into your future, you're invited to be one of the speakers for the Murfest.
Yeah.
Right, did I say that right? Murfest?
Yes, Murfest.
It's happening next month. What are you most looking forward to and what can people, you know, expect from your session?
So basically, I'm going to go there and share about my testimony, a little bit about the accident and what we do now at Daily Muscle. What is the most, I would say, I'm looking forward to see what Murfest brings, bring in new this year. Because Murfest has been, we've been with Murfest for about 2 to 3 years now, and they are definitely doing something really great as well. They're bringing in a lot of international yoga instructors, Pilates people, dance and music. And so this year, I would say, I think they have quite a few new instructors coming and new presenters coming in from different countries. Mm. And it's just very exciting because something that Noel and I do a lot is to get brains from
different parts of the world.
Different parts of the world, because at the end of the day, Asians, we are all our body type is quite similar versus an American. Like
different, you mean?
Yeah, it's very different. So training methods and just to pick their brains sometimes.
I mean, you were just telling me, you know, off the air that you had to, you know, buy an Australian fitness program that didn't really work in Malaysia, right?
Yeah, just to train and you know, just to figure out what triathlon is about.
So there is a very big gap, you know, Asian training methods into Western training methods. Cool.
Yeah.
Any last advice for, you know, people who, you know, are currently having an injury, who used to be, you know, sporting, you know, any advice to get them back into the fitness and sporting world?
So my biggest advice that I always tell people is that if you want something you've never had, you got to do something you've never done. And being able to just have that opportunity to do something that's out of your comfort zone sometimes, especially when it comes to injury, is very frustrating. It is a journey that you just have to, you know, you just have to go through. Does that mean that you can't do the things that you used to do? No. But the options between when I had my ankle injury, I couldn't run, but I had the option of running in the pool without gravity and without impact, and that actually helped me. And I wouldn't have thought of it if the injury didn't happen.
That's true.
You know, and things like that. Just small things, and you, I wouldn't be where I am today if the accident didn't happen. Like, you know, things like that. So you see things in a different way. So when you change the way you look at things, the things you see will change.
That was Kim Lee Yap, movement specialist and ex-national triathlete.
To find out more about Daily Muscle and their classes, you can head over to www.dailymuscle.com. And with that, we've come to the end of this week's edition of Baanan, show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. If you'd like to revisit the interview again, do head over to our website www.bfm.my. You can get in touch with us by tweeting us at BFM Radio. And also don't forget to download our latest app via Google Play and the App Store. My name's Daryl Ong. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week right here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%, APR 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.